from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 4, verse 26 and following, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk and then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shades." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, and they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. As we celebrate this Father's Day, I've shared with many of you one of my favorite Father's Day stories. When Manya and I were living in Memphis along with our two knuckleheaded boys, I remember one weekend just before Mother's Day. It was approaching. And the FedEx man came around the curve on two wheels. He stopped near a house, ran up to one of our neighbors, placed a package on the porch. And he ran back and I asked him, I said, "You must have a busy delivery weekend this weekend." He said, "Yes, Mother's Day is the second busiest weekend besides the weekend of Christmas every year." As he jumped in his truck, I said, "Well, what about Father's Day?" He said, "Oh, it's about like any other weekend." We know to take care of Mama, don't we? But on this day, we pause as well to give thanks for the gift of fathers. And I'm grateful for that word that we've spoken of today. The gift, as we think of, that's expressed in our scripture today. Did you hear in our text that as this parable that Mark is the only gospel writer that speaks of this particular parable of the seed becoming more. Mark says this. He says, "The sower surely plants the seed, but when it comes down to it, the gift," the writer says, "comes from the earth. And the sower, the worker, doesn't even know how it happens." There's a mystery. There's a gift in our Heavenly Father's love for us. And so it is on this day that we pause and think of some of the gifts that fathers pour into our lives. I think of the gift of a father being a teacher, one who gives us instruction, oftentimes verbally, but sometimes we teach and receive teaching from our fathers, even in unspoken words, the example they give us. Our young people watch as young disciples and older disciples. We are witnesses of our forebears, yes, in our family, our paternal fathers, but also the fathers of our faith that guide us along our journey. So on this day, not only do we celebrate, in my mind, the gift of our earthly fathers, but we also remember the fathers of our faith who've guided us throughout the centuries. The words of life that have come forth from Scripture to strengthen us on our journey when life is hard and challenging and we need the strength of a father and the loving guidance of above to guide us on our journey. You know, in recent weeks, there's been, it seems like, an epidemic of suicide in the celebrity world. where it's been brought to the forefront. People who have lost, it seems, all sense of hope in this life. The peril that they face, the grief, the emptiness seems so overwhelming that they felt they had no hope left. Well, you know, I find it in some ways encouraging today to know that that is not only an epidemic in the celebrity world. It's been an epidemic. It's been a challenge even for people of faith since there's been a faith. You know, our scriptures tell us, as Paul wrote his letter to the church in Corinth, the second letter to the church in Corinth in chapter 7, Paul said this. He said, Titus came to us bringing encouragement, and it was his gift that encouraged us all. You know, some theologians believe that this was a time of peril for Paul, a time of darkness and depression, that these words of Paul speaking of Titus encouraging him was when Paul was in the midst of the darkest depression in his life and ministry. He needed words of life from those around him. And it's been well documented throughout church history that some of the fathers of our faith indeed endured times of darkness, depression, grief, and hopelessness. Martin Luther, the great reformer in our faith, C.H. Spurgeon, to name just a couple, pioneers in our faith who wrestled with their own bouts and challenges and adversities. You see, I remember that because I find in our text today words of encouragement from the Father of our faith, Jesus, our Lord, who our church is built upon. He says, you are my body. You're a part of me, church. And he, in the words of Scripture today, gives what I think is guidance for us, instructions of a father, love of a brother, and guidance for life. In our text, we hear where Jesus shares this parable of the sower, where the seed is spread upon the earth and the gift comes forth from above. When he says, this is the kingdom of heaven. You know, one of the intentions surely that our Lord meant for us to receive there is that, friends, there is hope. There is life to come for us who have hope in Jesus Christ, that no matter what we face in this world, in the words of my friend Ruth Cook, nothing can separate us from God's love. Not life, not death, not peril. You see, that's what our Lord is saying when he says the kingdom of heaven is like that. It's a gift to us. We plant the seed. Yes, we strive to exercise our faith. But ultimately what we receive in heaven, friends, is like the gift of a harvest. We don't know how it comes. It's a gift to us. May we be encouraged. May we find comfort that Paul the Apostle had and Martin Luther the Reformer had, to know that ultimately this world is not our home. As Luther would state, as we're wrestling with the challenges in our life, yes, there are times when we face adversities as human people that we bring upon ourselves. Certainly. Me as a young person, perhaps you, and even today as an old person, we make decisions that bring challenges upon us, adversities. Sometimes we call those sins. Sometimes we call them mistakes. But sometimes the peril we face in this life is indeed brought upon us by ourselves. But the challenges I face most of all, and perhaps you, that Luther would speak of too, is those adversities that we face that we didn't deserve. We didn't sign up for. Those challenges of what he would say, living in a sinful world. You see, so much of what we face, we did not bring upon ourselves. Our family, those we love, they were faced with the same unfairness, brokenness, and questions of this world that's been faced with people of faith throughout life. So where we find hope is first knowing that there is hope in heaven. That our home and our gift is secure in God. It will get better. It will get better. But friends, that's not the end of the story. As the writer shares here, as Mark translates this parable from Jesus, he also tells not only about the seed producing a gift, but he also says this, that the smallest, the mustard seed, what is seen to be the most insignificant of all seeds, is transformed into the greatest shrub of all. You see, I think when Jesus is writing about the kingdom of God in this text, he's not only, friends, speaking of heaven. Jesus, our Lord, is not only giving us hope of a future glory, but I believe our Savior is proclaiming to us now, as we go through challenges, as darkness bears upon us, that God's love has the same power to transform us even now. From the smallest of seeds to the greatest of fruit. We too put our hope, as we sang about today, in Jesus, who can transform us, who can help us endure, who can help us overcome whatever we face through His love and trust in Him. You know, there's a poem that I saw recently where a person was facing the deepest darkness in their life. They too were hearing the challenges of the world, and they penned their feelings in a poem titled Pretty Ugly. And these are the words of that poem. I'm very ugly. So don't try to convince me that I'm a very beautiful person. Because at the end of the day, I hate myself in every single way. And I'm not going to lie to myself by saying there is beauty inside of me that matters. So rest assured, I will remind myself that I am worthless and a terrible person. And nothing that you say will make me believe I still deserve love. Because no matter what, I am not good enough to be loved, and I'm in no position to believe that beauty does exist within me, because whenever I look in the mirror, I always think, am I as ugly as people say? Those words were written by a person who knew darkness and despair. But those words were incredibly transformed by this poet who said, I have also experienced hope and light and love. You see, as the poet shared this poem, you can also read these exact words backwards, from the bottom to the top, and hear the hope of life. Hear the poem again, beginning from the bottom. Am I as ugly as people say? Because whenever I look in the mirror, I always think beauty does exist within me. And I am in no position to believe that I'm not good enough to be loved. Because no matter what, I still deserve love. And nothing you say will make me believe that I am a worthless and terrible person. So rest assured, I will remind myself that there is beauty inside of me that matters. And I'm not going to lie to myself by saying I hate myself in every single way. Because at the end of the day, I am a very beautiful person. So don't try to convince me that I'm very ugly. Friends, that's the power of transformation. That's the love that when we give ourselves wholeheartedly to the love of Christ, He too can be the poet to rewrite the poem in our life, to transform us to the smallest of mustard seeds, to the greatest life and love we can know, not only in heaven, but even now, as we serve our Lord with light and love. Amen. Let's